Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. This is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, and today we're reading from the Big Book, the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 97, very bottom of the page, paragraph 4. With a paragraph that begins, for the type of alcoholic. Today's readers are Patty T. for the 12 steps, Martha M. for the 12 traditions, Carrie S., Patty L. C., and Leslie W. Kara L. will greet newcomers after the recording ends, and Leslie W. has some important announcements for you. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, March 17th, 2020 is 14269. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for March 18th is 14275. That's 14275. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, not as soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty T. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you so much for your service. This is Patty T. recovering in Southern California, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for I pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T., and your puppy, too. Okay, and I'll now ask Martha M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. My name is Martha M. from Connecticut, compulsive under and overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Elaine, thank you for your service, and thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you for your service, Martha M., and all of our great team Wednesday. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing in topic and to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 97, and we're reading paragraph 4. And I'll ask Terry S. to please begin reading. Star 1 to unmute, Terry.
Thank you. Yes, this is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. For the type of alcoholic who is able
to... Terry, we're not hearing you. Could you press star 1 to mute again, please? Unmute again.
Sorry about that. I've been over here reading like crazy. This is Terry S.
Yes.
In Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. For the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to get well, little charity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. The men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. Yet we do go to great extremes to provide each other with these very things when such action is warranted. This may be inconsistent, but we think it is not. As with everything in the Big Book, there's such richness in just a small paragraph. And I don't I've never had to give money or shelter for somebody conquering food. But what really spoke to me in this paragraph is the type of alcoholic who's able and willing. Able. Am I abstinent so that my brain fog is cleared? Am I willing to get well? And I've heard over and over in this program that willingness is overrated. I'm an addict. I'm really not very willing to follow directions. My experience with this has been when people approach me, I ask them, are you done? Do you have any lurking notions that you can find some other way? Because for me, until the food beat the crap out of me, I could not surrender to this program. So I looked up the word surrender, which is what creates my ability to be willing. Surrender means cease resistance and abandon oneself entirely. Where else have we heard that in the big book? So Bill is bringing the surrender idea again and again. He just uses different words. Until I was willing to surrender and say, I don't know, I may have been in OA since 1989, in and out, with a 15-year relapse out, and many relapses in, but I've worked the steps, and I've done all this, and I've followed directions. Yeah, I worked the tools, I was on a diet with group support, but until I really surrendered to that flimsy reed of a power greater than myself, I could not face the onslaught of emotions and how the food was tearing me apart. And today, I am so grateful that I finally surrendered, because that's what it takes to work this program. As another member says frequently, this program is not for people who need it. This program is not for people who want it. It's for people who do it. And that means massive action. And I thank you for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry. Massive action. So true. Who would like to comment on that fourth paragraph on page 97 today?
Michelle J.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Oh, let's just start. I'll just try one more time here, okay?
Karen
Stacy J.
Carol.
Nadia B.
Lisa. Nadia.
Stacy J.
Marilyn.
Someone J. Who is that?
Stacy J.
Stacy J. Okay.
Elena C.
Barbara E.
Elena, and I think I heard Marilyn. And
yes.
I'm going to put Barbara at the beginning of the next lineup, okay? So, I'm going to need everybody's first initial of your last name. I got Carol, Lisa, Nadia, B. I don't know that one. Stacy J, Elena. I think that's Elena B, but I'm not sure, so correct me. And Marilyn. Sorry.
Marilyn C.
Thank you so much. Okay, that's the first part of our lineup, and then Barbara E will top off the second part of our lineup. So, Carol, followed by Lisa. Please give us the first initial of your last name, and if you're not Carol, it'd be great if you could press star one to mute. Thank you.
Hi, this is Carol K., recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. Grateful to be on a line this morning. You know what sentence sticks out to me is the men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track. And, you know, I remember about 6 years ago, my son met this friend of his, and he brought him home. He was about 650 pounds, and he came in and with all his food. And I wasn't recovered then, by the way. He handed me the big book. He's the one who showed me this program. And it just reminds me of him because he wound up losing his home, and he was homeless. And I took him in. And when he handed me the book and I started working a program, he wasn't. And I was brand new in program. I was just learning. I wasn't recovered at first, and I was trying to help him when I couldn't even help myself. But he was manipulating me. I mean, you know, with the food, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd make dinner, you know, marathon cook, because there were 7-8 adults that live in my house, because my adult kids are home. And he would just like, I'd wake up, I'd marathon cook, and I'd get up in the morning and everything was gone. And he'd say, it wasn't me. Anyhow, it was a year of hell, because he did manipulate for shelter and money. And it just reminds me of that. And today I realized I was not helping him. I was enabling him. There's a difference. And I'm grateful he gave me the book. I'm grateful he showed me this program. I'm also grateful I had him leave my home because I wasn't helping him. I was enabling him while he was manipulating me. And that's what this line says to me. Just reminded me of that. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thanks for sharing that, Carol Kay. Lisa, you're up next. If you could give us the first initial of your last name, and you are followed by Nadia B.
Sure, Elaine. This is Lisa G. from Texas, recovering compulsive overeater. What I want to share on this paragraph is that, first of all, I want to say a couple weeks ago or a week ago, I shared on something similar, and I just want to make an amend to everybody. I was sort of ranting. Memories of a time when I allowed myself to be manipulated by an addict. And what I want to say about it now, about this experience that I had with this person that was an addict and was very manipulative and wasn't willing to do the work, but I didn't see that because I am an addict and because I am a rescuer and because I want to control everything and I want to control everyone and make everybody okay. And that's what I really want to underline here is that there are people that they want to get well. They want to get well real bad and they're willing to go to any lengths, but they may be on the skids. You know, they may really be on the skids. I personally haven't met anyone in program that wanted to get well and was on the skids that I had to help. I just had an experience with one person that I basically just, you know, fell in love with this person. She was my sponsee and I was taken in by the manipulation. And it took a lot to pry me off of this person because of my character defect of wanting to be a rescuer and wanting to be in control of other people's lives. Because at that time, this was many years ago, you know, I wanted to fix you. It was so much easier to see what was wrong with you and fix you than do work on myself. And at that time, I wasn't working in the big book. I was in a program that was a tool-based program. And, oh, you know, it just about killed me. And I'm really glad that I finally saw what was going on for myself and for this person as well. And so I just want to say, you know, I'm keeping my eyes on my own plate now, working the steps and, you know, just learning how that I can't control anybody else but myself, even though it may seem like the big book says, you know, that it's coming out of a good heart. Anyway, thank you for letting me share and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lisa J. Okay, Nadia B, you're up next and you're followed by Stacy J. Hi, Nadia.
Hi, Elaine. Good morning. Thank you for your service. Nadia B, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And so what is the ability? I Googled that word, you know, looked it up at the dictionary, and it's a possession of means or skill to do something. And I have to tell you, I, you know, didn't know what I didn't know. And my will literally almost killed me. And so today, you know, when I got the gift of desperation, I was willing to go to any length to go to, you know, to get those skills. I was willing to listen to the sponsor. I was willing to listen to what you guys had experienced and do what you guys did. And so, you know, when I talk to someone today, I don't really know whether they possess the willingness, but once we start working together, you know, today through some experience, because I had those experiences, you know, I wasn't willing. I had all the excuses of, you know, I'm too busy. I'm, you know, my family requires me. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. You know, all those things are not, you know, other disease thinking. And so I just, you know, today I can recognize it in someone else due to my experience. And then because I've had those experiences and I've been come here on a winning streak. you know, I didn't come here because I'm all well. I came here because I was a broken, you know, I was a sick puppy. And so when I am willing, you know, that is for me today a result of a desperation. And we call it a gift because it is hard to come by. And, you know, sometimes it's wise to let people suffer a little, as I did, you know, and I'm grateful for those sponsors who had the love for me to let me go and experience a little more of that pain of the compulsive overeater before I could master the ability and willingness to do what this program requires us to do, you know, and to do what they did. You know, I didn't think I needed a food plan or working of the steps. Or listening to anyone when I first started. And, you know, thank God today I am as a result of, you know, God's grace and all those experiences that were spiritual in nature. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Nadia B. Pain is a great motivator. Stacey J. here, up next, followed by Elena. Please go ahead, Stacey.
Thanks very much. This is Stacey J., recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. This paragraph, I noticed that in the first line...
Stacey, we're not hearing you.
Oh, I hope you can hear me. My phone just did something strange. Can you hear me now?
I hear you just fine. Let's start all over again, okay?
Fantastic. It's Stacey J., recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. The first line, what strikes me here is that the normal expression that we would use would be willing and able. But here, Bill has written able first. And that makes me think about action. You know, for the food addict who is able to get well, that to me means takes the actions to get well. Little charity in the ordinary sense is needed. And so I think that's a cue for me with working with sponsees. Are they actively taking the actions that are suggested? And the second thing that I recall my own behavior where I did have a kind of an attitude of self-pity at a certain point where I was in 12 years of relapse, and I didn't know how long that relapse was going to be, and it's such a dreadful place to be feeling like, you know, is there no bottom here? Is there no point where I want to do the work and where I'm desperate enough? Because I feel like sometimes we don't know where that bottom is until we somehow hit it, you know? But during that time, I wanted to get well and then come back to OA and then show all of you, see, I got well without you. And that failed spectacularly. Thank goodness that idea finally left me. The other thing that strikes me here is, you know, we do help each other. I have friends in programs, in various 12-step programs who have, in the companies they work in, they have helped their fellows newly recovering, to get jobs. Like, I've seen that happen. But the word that strikes me also in this paragraph is the men who cry for money and shelter. That word cry, to me, that has the idea of, for people who have a poor me attitude, that's a clue that they maybe are not in the right headspace to recover. You know, when it's like, look how awful my life is, and all these things have to be fixed before I can do the work. That attitude, Bill seems to be saying here, is not the path of recovery. Whereas, no matter how bad it is, I'm going to stop right here, right now, and do the work that's suggested by my sponsor. That seems to be a winning formula. And that's all I have to say. And thanks so much for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Stacey J. That does sound like a winning formula. Elena, can you give us the first initial of your last name before Marilyn T. shares? I mean, it's before you share, and you'll, thank you, and you'll be followed by Marilyn T. See, please go ahead, Elena C.
It's C as in cat.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. So, my name is Elena C, and I am a compulsive overeater in recovery and gladly almost finishing up step 9 the second time. And I want to just share with everyone on the phone today that this second time was so needed to get me in an even more spiritually fit condition. So what I am in touch with right now is the word charity. And charity means helping money for those in need and the giving without expectation in getting anything in return. And, you know, how also the phrase, I mean, what it said in the paragraph, that before conquering alcohol, asking for money and shelter will not help the alcoholic. Because that, I believe, would be taking advantage of the person and manipulation, and it will not necessarily fix or help the alcoholic. But on the opposite, it will deprive the alcoholic of their own journey. You know, like because of the condition of alcoholism, these people don't have food and shelter. Well, give them food and shelter and see how the alcoholism will get even deeper, right? So, and just a reminder for me how just not, like kind of to stay and pause when helping others before I jump into helping, because I have a tendency to just help, period, with not thinking. And that, that's therefore I needed to be in the other program of Al-Anon and address that. And it's still a work in progress, but you know what? I am okay. There is spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection. And it's just a reminder of when I do too much, when I do help people and take away their responsibility for themselves, I do not help. I hurt people. Because I deprive them their own journey, their own relationship with their own higher power, of their own understanding. And, you know, I currently have an experience with my family members and that I think I helped too much and I shouldn't have. And, you know, by the grace of God, with my working on this stuff, it was revealed. It was revealed. God has revealed to me what I should not have been doing, you know? And the thing is, I also learned that the reason I helped is because...
Gentle reminder.
So I just wanted to say that, just wrap it up, that I had the need of my little girl inside of me to get her needs met once again from these people. It was the reason I was helping. And so that was, again, the selfish reason. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Oh, thanks so much, Elena C. Marilyn T., you are up next, and we're going to take another lineup. We've already got one person in the queue. That will be Barbara E. So be prepared to give us your name after Marilyn T. if you'd like to comment on page 97, paragraph 4, which begins with, for the type of alcoholic. Please share with us, Marilyn T.
Thank you so much. Thank you for moderator. My name is Marilyn T. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater in California. When I read this paragraph, when we've read this and we read it all together as a group, it has power. It has power in multiple ways. We're on step 12. And what I see it is that this is a spiritual program. This is what this book, The Solution, is all about. And we're given great advice on how to do that. And we work with a guide, which is our sponsor. And I really like the part guide. This person who we have as a sponsor in A Vision for You guides us to a work in the 12 steps. And what does a guide do? It guides us to our higher power. And when we are using higher power, whatever that may be to each individual person, we are doing the work of our higher power. So that is where my discernment comes from, is my higher power. When I will be sponsoring very soon, I'm like on 101, page 101, and for the second time. And as the person before me said, it was my higher power's plan that I do this twice, that I really get what I needed to get out of this. So my discernment goes, are they just wanting a diet? Are they looking for recovery? But I'm not going to know unless I share this book. I'm not going to know until we get into this book, until that person has a chance to work this program. And that is all my job is to work this program with someone, to guide them to a higher power, to get them through the 12 steps, and so that they can in turn do this for someone else. I thank my higher power that I am here with you all, and we are all together, and we are working this plan of recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
I thank you that you are here with us too, and everybody. Okay, Barbara, you're the first one in our lineup, so we have room for about five more. Who'd like to come?
Irene B. Heather.
Irene B.
Michelle.
I heard Patty T. Irene B. Michelle.
Jay.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry.
Jody E.
Jody
E.
Robin.
Stephen
Robin.
G.
Robin P. Okay.
Very good. Eugene, Oregon.
Okay, so I got, this is what I've got. I've got Barbara E., Patty T., Irene L., I believe, Michelle, I didn't get your last initial, Jody EQ, I believe, and Robin T., and if there's time, I got Stephen N. on here. So if you are not Barbara E., please press star 1 to mute your phone, and you'll be followed by Patty T.
Good morning, everyone. It is Barbara E., you're right, in New Jersey, and thank you for hearing my name. Well, I've been recovered since 1996, and I've maintained 100-pound weight loss. But before 1996, there were countless vain attempts to prove that one day, that noise isn't me, by the way, that one day I'd be able to eat like a normal person. That delusion had to be smashed. Heaven knows I tried so many times, only to go back to even worse binges. I was sure I was going to be stuck in this downward spiral forever until it killed me. It certainly was destroying my family life. I was a terrible role model for my children who followed me into morbid obesity. There were times I thought I'd gained the necessary control to do it on my own, always followed by crushing defeat. I got worse, never better. I had to be desperate and willing to take action after action. Being willing wasn't enough. I had to do the work, even if it was scary. And yes, sometimes I felt uncomfortable, but I was so desperate, so scared, I did the work anyway. I had to give up thinking I was the boss, the director, and just surrender and roll up my sleeves and take action. When my sponsor said jump, I said, how high? When a potential sponsee said this, I knew she was ready. I knew she was truly ready. Any less, and I was not sure she was ready or willing to do the hard work necessary. So I always ask a potential sponsee, why do you want to do this work? And why now? And are you willing to go to any lengths? And what does that mean? And are you willing to work this program like your life depends on it? And when you're through, are you willing to pass this message on to others? And if they answer yes to these questions, I gladly work with them because I am a compulsive overeater who knows if I don't carry the message, I will go back to food again. And a sliver will become a slice and a slab and a slob. And I don't want to gain another 100 pounds again. I give you blessings, everyone. Wash your hands, sanitize, and put your hands in the faith of God. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Great advice. Patty T., you are up next, and you're followed by Irene. I'm not sure if it's L or B, but you can let us know. Patty T., please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much, Elaine, for your service. And these shares are just amazing today. You know, what I wanted to focus on here is the first line that says, for the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to get well, little clarity in the ordinary sense of the word is needed or wanted. You know, I walked into this program with no clarity. I looked it up. It means lucidity and transparency. And there was absolutely no transparency in me because I was hidden from myself. I was living in absolute and complete delusion. So it wasn't clarity that I needed in order to recover. It was the ability to take direction and the willingness. But I came in, and I have to stress this, as a result of character defects. I came in because of my people-pleasing. My therapist asked me to come to OA because the insurance was threatening to cut me off because nothing she had done had helped me. Okay, so I came to help her, codependent or whatever, you know, to please her. And what I found here was something I realized I wanted. And then when it says here, the men who cry for money and shelter before conquering alcohol are on the wrong track, that was me in every aspect of my life. Every single aspect of my life before I came into this program. I thought that if I lost enough weight and looked well enough that I could, what, meet someone, get to know someone, date someone, marry someone, and then have a family. I thought that if my career was successful, my own success would attract someone to me. And so as a result, I lived my life in complete and total isolation, and married to food, which was a terrible spouse. So, you know, I didn't need anything coming in here. What I did need was a compassionate guide, and I found that in every sponsor I've had in this program. Some have been, you know, tough and insensitive and whatever, but I have to say, I have gotten crucial and amazing guidance and help from every sponsor I've had in this program. And I am so grateful for them in my life today, every single one of them. So if I can be that kind of person to someone else, because everybody has their path. And I'm going to wrap up with that. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Patty T. Irene, you're up next. If you can give me the first initial of your last name, and then Michelle, if you could do the same.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Irene B., as in boy, a gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I wanted to share about willingness because in the earlier meetings, we talked a lot about willingness. And I love the concept of willingness. I love it that at the beginning my sponsor said, you just have to be willing to be willing to be willing. If that's how far down the line you need it to be. And that worked for me because I was willing, but it's like, how willing am I? How far am I willing to go for complete recovery? And you know, the perfectionistic self that I am, I want to do it all perfectly. I want the perfect recovery. In other words, I want to be the perfect human. Isn't that the biggest lie? You know, if I were perfect, I wouldn't be human. It's not possible. And the understanding that I can't be perfect and that I can't do this recovery thing perfectly, it's good for me because that means that I get to stop beating myself up because I'm doing well, but I'm not doing it perfectly. I heard earlier today something that I've been struggling with that I wonder if it's a problem. It's like nighttime is difficult for me, and I chew gum like it's going out of stock. One piece. Actually, no, it's two pieces at a time, you guys. It's not one piece at a time. It's two pieces at a time. And changing it every, sometimes every 2 minutes, sometimes I hold on to it for an hour. And because night times are anxious times, I don't know what happens at night time, that I don't know what's going on. I just need to do that. And by doing that, in my opinion, I am distracting myself from my feelings, and perhaps my time would be better utilized by journaling and finding out what is it that I'm feeling anxious about.
Gentle reminder.
No. Okay, I guess I'm going to have to pass, and I haven't done the journaling yet, but I know I need to do it because I think that journaling would probably be more productive to figuring out what is it about nighttime? What is it? With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene B. Michelle, you're up next. If we could have the first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Jody EQ.
Thank you, moderator. This is Michelle J. from Arkansas. And, you know, I was thinking about I am recovered, but I'm always recovering. I'm always learning. I'm new to program. I'm new to all of this. So I hope that what I have to say makes sense. But I'm learning that a person who is destitute, like they were talking about in the early 1900s, well, they're kind of the best people you could have, those destitute people. Well, when somebody calls me, I'm opening my home, my life, my time, and my recovery. And if I'm recovered and if I have a clear head, I can assess. Birds of a feather are going to flock together, you know, old saying. But in program, it says, I cannot give what I do not have, but flip it. And you cannot have what you're not willing to give. Listening to others, having God's ears, helps me to hear, what does this person want? I listen to them. To lose weight, to have a diet, to have a friend. Is it a drama cohort they want? They want to be into drama? Do they need a counselor? An enabler? Or do they want and need recovery? And it's a beautiful thing. And sometimes I can be someone's friend, but I know they're not ready for recovery. I can counsel, I can help somebody a little bit here and there, but I know, I feel it. Birds of a feather flock together. When I came into program, I had 5 books, OA, NA, I had Al-Anon. I had no idea even where to start. I didn't know what OA was. And it took one person to call me and talk to me and say, I'm going to guide you. And I was ready. And not only was I joyous, but they were joyous. They could feel it. Anyways, so birds of a feather flock together. And just remember, you can't give what you don't have, but they can't get what they're not, they cannot have what they're not willing to give. So anyways, I thank all of you so much and stay well and keep encouraging others. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. Jody, you are up next, followed by Robin P.
Thank you so much, Elaine. Thanks, everybody, for being there. This is Jody E. Now, I dropped the cue. Jody E. in California. So the type of alcoholic who is able and willing to recover, no charity is really needed. So what does he mean by that, who is able? On the first page of chapter 5, How It Works, it says that rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually, men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. So if to be able to work this program seems to me to mean, am I able to be honest with myself? Am I able to see my selfishness, my dishonesty, my self-seeking, and my fear? There do seem to be some people who are constitutionally incapable of doing that. I have a sister like that. She's 70 years old. And it's very hard to watch someone like that go down and not help them to detach from them. It's very difficult to not enable them. But if I'm going to help someone, I need to let them experience the consequences of their action and their inaction, which can be very difficult to do, especially when it's a family member, especially. So I think that's what Bill is talking about when he says able. Willingness is another matter, which we've talked about quite a bit already. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about what it means to be able to work this program. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody. Robin P., you are up next. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And so grateful for this meeting, even more grateful than I usually am just for the connection here. It's such a blessing because I really, my own experience has been that isolation is the first step of the disease. So it's so important to stay connected. You know, in terms of this paragraph, I've sponsored people who just weren't ready, and I was more ready for them to be recovered than they were. And I can't carry the person, I can just carry the message. And when people are willing to get well, all I have to do is be the messenger. And that's my sign. And they don't need a whole bunch of extra things. They don't, there's no manipulation. There's just honest recovery, honest, open, and willing recovery. That's how I recover. And, you know, it's really simple. And I can tell when I've been codependent, and it's so helpful for me. You know, my sponsor just said, are you willing to go to any length to recover? And I knew it was just resounding yes. And that's what I ask people now, you know. And when that's the motive, then the rest just falls into place. That's been my experience. And yet I would do anything to help a sponsee as long as it's I have the right motive. And, you know, it's just, I love that it says this may seem inconsistent, but we think it is not. We know in our hearts, you know, when someone's really honestly wanting to recover. And it's just getting honest with ourselves, too, you know, because I can get codependent just like anybody else. So it's just praying for knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out in all my affairs, including being a sponsor and a sponsee. I'm so grateful to be abstinent and recovered today. I would feel so, oh my gosh, I've been isolated in the disease and that is hell. And feeling, you know, somewhat isolated, more isolated than usual, because I've had so many events canceled just like everybody else, you know, but isolated, more isolated in recovery is a completely different ballgame. And I can reach out and be with people virtually and just connect heart to heart. So I'm very grateful. Thank you all so much. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. And I'm afraid that's all the shares we have time for today. So thanks to everyone who came, shared, listened. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the big book, on page 164. So, will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You?
Thank you, Elaine. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.